Dark Mirror, Chapter 9. Toa Tu Yet stood over the battered, semi-conscious body of Takanuva, Toa of Light. He did not stir. Being blown through half a dozen walls by a focused tidal wave will do that to you. Tu Yet smiled.
Pathetic. Truly pathetic. If you are an example of what a Toa are like in your universe, it's a wonder you haven't all been hunted to extinction by now.
The ruler of the Toa Empire slipped off her mask of intangibility and replaced it with the Kanohi Olmak, the mask Takanuva had come seeking. This mask alone had the power to open gateways to interdimensional space, and it was Takanuva's only hope of escaping this twisted world.
Your friends outside are dead, or soon will be. I admit I was surprised to find they still had some fight left in them after 3,500 years. But they can't be allowed to rob the Matoran of the peace I have brought them.
Takanuva managed to get to his hands and knees, rubble sliding off his back as he did so. He looked at Tu Yet with eyes that held equal parts of contempt and pity. Peace, he said in disbelief. Is that what you call perverting the Toa into secret police, terrorizing villagers, killing anyone who opposes your rule?
I did what had to be done. I made the world right. And who are you to judge me? You are nothing but an alien from some other dimension.
Takanuva hurled a blast of shadow at Tu Yet, temporarily cloaking her in darkness. By the time she could see again, he was gone. But his voice came from high above her, saying, "That's true. My world is messier than yours, more dangerous in some ways, but it's a world that's better because you're not in it, Tu Yet." The Toa of Water unleashed her power, bringing the ceiling down, but Takanuva was not there. Instead, he sprang from the opening at the far end of the hall, hurling blinding light at Tu Yet as he made a grab for her mask. She spun, caught him by the arm, and threw him hard to the floor.
I have hundreds of times your power. You are nothing but a light stone to be ground to the dust beneath my heel.
Takanuva attacked again, hurling bolts of shadow and light. To his amazement, Tu Yet parried them with ease. Seeing his surprise, she laughed.
You know, we had no Toa of Light in this universe. We didn't need one. And in a few moments, we will be back to being without one.
Takanuva charged. The next few seconds were a blaze of battle, lasers turning water to steam, waves crashing against walls, a race to see what would happen first, Takanuva drowning in the tide, or Tu Yet drowning in darkness. When the fight was through, Tu Yet stood once more triumphant.
Enough! I have wasted enough time on you. Your rebellion is finished, and now so are you.
Tu Yet was about to strike when a strange sound penetrated the damaged Colosseum. Takanuva raised his head and glanced out a hole in the wall. He saw hundreds, no thousands of Matoran marching toward the building, all of them armed. In the distance, he could see airships and seagoing vessels carrying other Matoran, Dark Hunters, Vortex, and others. All of them were descending on the city, their eyes fixed on the Colosseum. Still think the rebellion is over, Takanuva asked, or maybe it's just beginning.
The fools! With my power, I can sweep them all away in a flood like no one has seen before.
Takanuva looked right into Tu Yet's eyes. Then who would there be left to protect? Who would you have made your perfect universe for? Tu Yet smiled.
Very clever, Toa. True, a universe with only drowned Matoran would not be of much to anyone. But they must be taught respect.
Why? If they are so ungrateful, why not use your mask to travel somewhere else? Some place that needs you. Start over again in another Metro Nui, one where they might welcome a ruler like you. Tu Yet glanced down at the street. The mob was coming closer, and though she could easily kill them all, it would leave her as the ruler of an empire of corpses. Perhaps Takanuva was right. At the least, she could leave and return with an army of Toa from some other dimension, enough to stamp out every last vestige of rebellion in her own world. She turned away and activated her mask. A portal into interdimensional space opened before her, and she prepared to step in. That was when Takanuva made his move. He somehow managed to hurl himself at Tu Yet, snatching the mask from her face. The second it lost contact with her, its power shut off and the portal began to close. Takanuva, mask in hand, dove through, but Tu Yet was not about to let him escape so easily. Even as he cleared the portal, she grabbed onto his leg, trying to follow him. She blasted him with hard bolts of water, catching his hand and tearing the mask from his grasp. It floated away into the space between dimensions. Takanuva turned back. What he saw horrified him, but his shouted warning came too late. Tu Yet was halfway through the portal, trying to drag Takanuva back in. She was so consumed by rage that she never noticed the portal closing until it was much too late. She screamed as reality slammed shut on her body, leaving her upper half in the void and her lower half in the Colosseum on her world. Mercifully, death came instantly. Takanuva hovered in space for a long moment. He wondered what would happen in Tuyet's universe with her gone. Would the Toa become protectors again? Would the Matoran take control? Or would some group like the Dark Hunters or Makuta become new dictators? Perhaps someday, if he was able, he would return to find out the answer. He turned his head away from the remains of Tuyet, wondering how a Toa could go so wrong, and realizing with a shudder what a very fine line it could be between justice and tyranny. Tuyet's life had been wasted, but the lives of no more Toa would be lost if he could prevent it. With grim resolve, he resumed his journey to Cardanui. The end.